Good morning, 6:22 a.m. Sunday, May the 7th, 2017. It's 54-ish out here. The sun is not, as you can tell from the photo this morning, sun is not up very high in the sky. And there's a lot of cloudiness about. So I'm out of the breeze and the worst of the breeze. It's not completely gone, but it makes it a little less chilly on the extremities. My ears are cold. My nose is cold. I've kept my hands balled up, so they're staying warm with each other. But yeah, it's chilly for 50 degrees. It's only a little bit cooler than yesterday. But without the sun, there's no additional warmth in the air yet. So yeah, anyway, here I am. 3K yesterday, I didn't get my 4K. I got one in the afternoon, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. I had to stay up till 10 o'clock to get that. And then I had to get up at 5 to get the kid off to work. So I did not go back into the house after returning home. I just I had my gear with me. I just suited up and headed out. So here I am, 6:22 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I look forward to getting home and getting into the story. I've pretty much caught up on correspondence this morning. I need to check to see if there's been any new typos dropped in the queue this morning. It's interesting to me that people, the typos that people turn in, and occasionally, I'm not going to say it's a lot, but occasionally, they'll turn in a typo on one line, and when I go to correct it, I discover there's a typo on the line immediately before it or immediately after it that they didn't mention. So it does make me think that where people find typos, they're not really paying attention to the story to begin with, which I take as a challenge, because clearly I haven't engaged them in the tale enough that their eyes skip over and see the word that's supposed to be there. I had one yesterday where there was a missing word. And I read that they sent me the whole passage, and I read that passage 4 times, trying to find the typo, the misused word. It only turned out to be a missing preposition. I couldn't spot it to save my life. Eventually I did, but it was, if I'd been being scored on how quickly, I'd have failed. So, as I've said many times, you can't prove you've got all the typos. You can only prove you haven't by finding one. So, I've got to get my words in this morning. I'll have a little bit of time this evening, but not much. Ideally, I'll get 4K in before 2 o'clock today. Because, well, 1:30. At 2 o'clock, I'm due at Weldworks, over on the other side of town, for a brews and books with the High Plains Library District people, a celebration of reading and beer. It saddens me that I can't have any beer. Not yet. I may be able to indulge occasionally, but I've got to get the weight down, I've got to get the glucose down, I've got to get the A1C down before I can start being a little less rigid about what I can eat and drink. So the good news is I'm down 5 pounds. My fasting glucose is down 20 points. If I lose 5 more pounds, I should be able to get my fasting glucose down to a level that is not necessarily healthy, but is still not, oh my God, pulling out my hair, dangerous. Or apparently dangerous. I really don't know how dangerous, only that I have to be careful. So, yeah, here I am out, I'm walking, I'm moving. I've had most of a cup of coffee. I had a long talk last night, which is one of the reasons I don't have my word count down. But I had a long talk last night with Dan Sawyer. Now, Dan is one of those people that I scratch my head over because I don't seem to be anything he can do, certainly nothing I've been able to do, to promote his work. He can't seem to sell books very well anywhere. And the idea of going all in with Amazon to get into Select and into KU is completely anathema. So, while his books are listed on Amazon, he won't go into Select, he won't go into Kindle Unlimited, because he sees it as golden handcuffs, that once he goes in there, he'll never be able to afford to get out, which is not exactly true. The guy's got 24 books. He's got 30 shorter works. And I think after hashing this out with him back and forth, we started talking about finding an audience. And I think the difficulty is that he's still looking for an audience and doesn't realize he's looking for about 8 or 10 different audiences, each of whom has a different requirement, each of whom has a different aesthetic. Each of whom, they're just like indie writers are not monolithic, readers are not monolithic. So he has a series, the Clark Lantham mystery series, which are good, which I've read a couple of them. he's asked me to beta read a couple. It's good stuff. It's a tough read for me because it's present tense. He writes in present tense for his mysteries, which drives me crazy. But I know there are people that it doesn't bother. I know there are people who actually like it. And yet... And, you know, I don't like first person. It grates on me. But the idea that I would read first person and be able to overlook that says a lot, I think. Oh, get ready. Say it with me. Monk post. It says a lot about his writing. It's like, okay, I can overlook this one thing that makes me cringe with every sentence. This present tense pretense. In order to read a story that I find actually engaging, even though it's not in a genre I normally read, it's not in a style I usually am comfortable in or look forward to. It's not the kind of story I generally sink into. So that's one clientele. That's one audience. And then he has the Suave Rob stuff, which I just cannot abide. I read the first book. If you saw my review on Peer Reviewed, you'll see the review I left, which was sort of complimentary, but absolutely underscores the problems that I have with it. He does an excellent job of making me hate the main character, because that was his goal, was to make a main character that was unsympathetic. And he succeeded. He succeeded remarkably. Doesn't mean I'm going to read the second book. So there's a differentiation in audience right there. It's a small franchise. There's only two books in the series. So there's that audience. There's his science fiction audience. And theoretically, Suave Rob would fall into that. Except that the rest of his science fiction is quite different from Suave Rob. His Resurrection Junket is beautiful. It's amazing. It's probably the best thing he's ever written. It's disturbing, it's troubling, it's, in a certain sense, horrifying. But it's an amazing story. Then his Down from 10, which he did in Patio Books years and years ago. I was have a voice acting part in that. It's actually closer to Resurrection Junket than it is others that he's written. It's still, I still found it a fascinating read. When I was doing the voice acting, I found it to be a fascinating read. It's the only, apparently the only one of his books with links that go out to my books, but my books don't link back to him, which is weird because there's actually a sample of there's a sample of Down from 10 in the back of one of my books, which apparently is doing him absolutely no good whatsoever. And then he's got his antithesis progression, which he's changing to be something else. He's in the process of rebranding it, restructuring the entire thing. Caracan Ascendancy, I think is what he's going to call it. It'll be 6 books because he's restructured the 4 stories, and because of that restructuring he's had to add another couple of books to make sure that everything is in there that's supposed to be in there. And he'll start releasing those 1 a month later this year. So that's another audience. And then he writes nonfiction about guns and cars. I think he's got a series called The Everyday Novelist, which is subjects of interest to novelists who actually work at it. Particularly new novelists who need a bit of guidance in terms of practice. There's a guy practicing his wire walking. There's a steel wire fence, just a single strand of steel wire along on posts up here beside the park, as to keep people from wandering out into the no man's land beyond. And it's just a single strand of steel wire between wooden 4x4s. He's walking on it, on the wire strand. Not very far, not very long, but he's walking on it, which is quite interesting. So yeah, he's got a big catalog, but he's not. The problem is it's all branded to his name. So somebody coming and looking at his catalog is easily overwhelmed by 24, well, it's actually more than that, it's 30-something, counting as nonfiction. It's more than that, counting as short fiction. So it's a big catalog. I think it's working against him, because I don't think an audience can see itself. I don't think readers can pick the details out. Because we talk about marketing and branding and how I don't, I make it a point not to diversify too much. I did Tanith Fairport. I want to go back to Tanith Fairport some point. But my goal is really to write stories set in the golden age of the solar clipper, some of which will involve Ishmael Wong, some of which won't. Until I have to hang up my keyboard, or they bury me with it, or whatever. Because this is the universe that still enchants me. There's still so much possibility here. Working on Suicide Run has sort of underscored that idea for me. Because the story is not going anywhere. I never would have expected that it's going in the direction that it's going. I never would have thought that. Never would have thought this is where it's going. But it's working. I'm not going to second guess it until I get to the end. And then we'll see what I've got. But at 4K a day, that'll be... Coming to the end is not going to be too far away, assuming I can keep this going. And at the moment, I'm pretty jazzed about it. So, perhaps I can. At any rate, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.